You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
What's going on, everybody? It's a brand new episode of Off Book presented to you by Broadway Black. We're ready to hit our mark. I'm going to do it right now. I'm Drew Shade.
I am Angela Burchett.
I am Jeremy O'Brien.
And we're here back in the studio.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Drew Shade, y'all. I'm so geeked. I'm so geeked.
Not like real geeked.
No, for real.
Like in real life.
Yeah, because yeah. I missed it. So I missed I took some time. We took a break. We took 2 weeks. I don't think we really told anybody it was going to take 2 weeks.
Gotcha.
But I don't think we really knew it was going to take 2 weeks. I think we planned on taking 1 week, but then the week before just didn't work out the way we wanted to, so it ended up being 2 weeks.
And then the Tonys.
Yeah. And the Tonys happened, right. Yeah. Tonys were last week, so it was like, there was no way we were going to record last week. Mm-hmm. So that was always the plan, to take a break last week. But so Danye's away. I forget where Danye's at. I think he might be doing Williamstown stuff.
Oh, that's dope.
His play Soft.
Okay.
Has been cast, and they'll be doing that at Williamstown, so I can't wait for that.
Nice.
And Amber just opened her show on Friday.
Yeah. I think I'm going this week to see it.
Are you going to go?
Because I live in Jersey, so.
Okay, so you ain't invited me.
Well, I'm still planning, so we can totally go, and I got the hookup.
Jersey's a hike, though, so.
Well, I live in Jersey, and I drive, so it's easy.
Yeah.
If you get to my house, you can go.
So she's not here, so we got y'all two beautiful people.
Yay.
Tell the people how you're Broadway Black and what makes you a part of this Broadway Black community.
Well, I'm Black, first of all.
Yeah.
And I love every bit of it.
Yeah.
I'm all the way Black.
Well, let me just say, Angela Burchett is a renowned vocalist.
Oh, my goodness.
She has been seen on Broadway.
Yes.
In The Color Purple.
Yes.
She has toured.
Yes.
Actually, you were on the show before.
Yeah.
So the people know you. Like,
but this is cool. Like, this is my first show post all of that stuff. Like, literally right before everything started happening, I came on the show talking about, I don't understand. I've been around.
And I said that she was going to be on Broadway.
You did.
I was like, somebody need to hire her.
And I don't remember how long after, but very soon after It all, Broadway happened, TV started happening, touring happened, then a big film happened.
Yes.
So it's been crazy.
Okay, so tell the people what big film happened.
Well, in January, I don't have the date yet, but January 2020, Lifetime will be premiering its first biopic about gospel artists.
Yes.
And the biopic is called The Clark Sisters, The Legends of Gospel, and it is a biopic about the Clark Sisters. And I will be playing the eldest Clark sister, Miss Jackie Clark Chisholm.
And I'm still trying to figure out how that is, because you look the youngest.
Right. Isn't it crazy? It always, all my whole career has been like that. Uh-huh. I've been playing an older character, but I always am the youngest or look the youngest. It's so weird. We had a great time, and it's going to be coming out, and I think everyone's going to enjoy it. I actually will see my my colleagues and the Clark sisters in a few weeks when we go to the Essence Festival to be on a panel with them and to musically tribute them.
Down in NOLA, right?
Yeah. So you get to sing for the Clark sisters.
Come on.
Yes, and I'm so excited.
You should be.
Yeah.
You got a chance to do that before, though, haven't you?
I have. Mm. As a kid. As a teenager.
Because you're from Detroit.
Right. I'm from Detroit. I grew up literally up the street from the old Greater Emmanuel Church of God in Christ, which is where Bishop Sheard and First Lady Karen Clark Sheard are, you know, pastor and First Lady. So it was nothing for me to go to Midnight Musicals and
come on, Midnight Musicals.
See, y'all got to be church for
come
real.
Come on, Midnight Musicals. That's Koji.
Midnight Musicals and shut-ins.
Right.
But yeah, I grew up, I have two sisters.
We used to rehearse hard for the Midnight Musicals.
Jesus. And our parents wouldn't let us do nothing else but a Midnight Musical.
Oh, you can stay out as late as you need.
Long.
Yes.
No questions asked.
And then go to IHOP afterwards.
Right. Well, in Detroit, it's a place called Ram's Horn.
Oh, gotcha.
That's the black folk church, post-church meetup.
That's the Waffle House.
That's the Waffle House in Detroit, Ram's Horn. I think it's still around. But yeah, I grew up, they're iconic. My sisters and I basically learned all their songs. And when I was like maybe 11, I went to their music school actually with my sisters and sang for Jackie.
Yeah.
My dad reminded me of that. I forgot about that. Yeah. And then to turn around and be a part of telling their story, you know, a fraction of their story is still unreal to me. You could never have convinced me back in the day that I would be a part of this. So I'm really excited to watch it with everyone, to hear everyone's feedback. And
we love when the church and the theater, you know, cross and mix.
I'm especially proud of that because I'm the only, as far as I know, I'm the only cast member that has a predominantly theater background.
Got it.
Everyone else is movie, television, or gospel. So
I love gospel music.
Ouch.
Glad you thought about
it. Okay.
Okay.
I was like, nope. Oh, Kate. Oh.
Table that.
I am very proud to be the lone theater girl in the cast. I mean, I'm sure other, of course, Anjanou Ellis has had changes, honey.
Changes.
You know, I'm sure there are others. But
I had to catch up.
You did. Good save.
I almost said the name, everything.
I almost had to pitch this phone and go for it like, you know,
okay.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay, so well, welcome, Angela.
Thank you, Drew.
We love you so much. We're glad to have you back.
Too.
And, you know, we're glad that, you know, that the, you know, Broadway Black magic could sprinkle all over you. And we hopefully that it does more for you after this go round and we get another Broadway show.
Yes.
You know.
Well, it happens right after here. So I receive what
you said. That's what I'm saying.
Come
we're trying to pour more of the magic
it.
On you. Take another show. Take two.
Yes.
Oh, what's going on, Jeremy?
Yo,
we got Jeremy O'Brien in the house, not to be confused with Jeremy O'Harris.
Please don't. Let me tell you something, too.
What?
I was out in public once, and somebody said, you're the other Jeremy.
Oh, not the other Jeremy?
And I'm like,
no, I'm the Jeremy. You better tell him.
Like, okay. I was like, it's okay, though. They going to know, though.
What was your response? Like, what did you say?
Like, okay, yeah, sure.
Right, because what can you say? You know, because Jeremy's great.
Love Jeremy, but it's that thing of like who gets done first.
Right.
I'm like, it's okay, girls. You will know. Ooh. When they do my work, you'll understand what it is.
Oh,
and I'm okay with I'm okay with the road to that place.
Yes.
You know? But don't call me the other Jeremy.
Right.
Just say Jeremy O'Brien.
Right. I'm Jeremy O'Brien.
Yeah.
Come on, Jeremy O'Brien.
So not to be confused with the lovely Jeremy O'Harris.
Yes. So Jeremy O'Brien is a playwright. He just recently did a reading of your
My
work?
First New York City public reading of my play.
For a play called Egg or Anything Dipped in Egg Gone Soften? Okay.
Yeah.
And you from Mississippi?
I am. Mississippi down.
Whereabouts?
Lambert is a small town nobody ever knows, but everybody's always like, tell me, because people want to feel like maybe they'll get it, and they never get it. And then I have to be like, it's outside of Clarksville, Mississippi. And they're like, I think I know Clarksdale, which means that they don't know Clarksdale.
is it near Gulfport?
Hell no.
Oh,
no.
So are you north?
It's on a very, it's like almost on the opposite end of the state.
Gotcha.
It's close to Ole Miss.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Ole Miss. And we're not far from Memphis if you take the nice little back road.
Oh, so you're
road.
Like on the
yeah.
west?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
North?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. Far
up
from
that way.
The other way.
Yeah. But Egg played, the reading happened, and it was really dope. There was like Sadiq Hurd and David Glover and Jelani, who was in Frozen.
Yeah.
And Jasmine, who's at the New School with me. Chrissy.
Jasmine Boone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I was really like, it
directed
blew my
by
mind.
Jeffrey Page.
Yeah, Jeffrey is.
Who just graduated, didn't he graduate
yeah,
from
Columbia? Yeah, yeah. Okay. I went to his thesis at Columbia.
Uh huh.
And I was like,
I heard all about that. I was in the middle of a show, so I couldn't go. So yeah. I'm so mad I missed it.
I went
it.
And I was like, okay, I want to work with this guy.
Yeah.
And so, like, I had two directors that I was going to work with for the reading, and, like, Stevie couldn't do it.
Yeah.
He was, like, out in LA. And
Stevie
I was
Walker
like,
Webb.
Yeah, Stevie gotcha. Walker Webb. And I was like, okay, let's go with Jeffrey. And okay. I'm glad, like, I'm. Either one would have been fine, but I'm glad we did because he blew my mind. Like, the whole cast and the whole experience was mind-blowing. So I'm excited about the life
of this place. So tell us about what the play is about.
Loosely, it's about a black queer couple who kind of come to terms with their relationship in the middle of sex therapy.
Sex therapy?
Yeah. Okay. And it happens, like, in their living room.
They be fucking on the stage?
Nah, you know, we more than the
How
sex.
How is the therapy without the sex?
How? Because he's talking about it.
Okay.
Now, that's a radical
okay,
idea,
okay,
right?
Yeah, that is. You know, it's radical.
Talk about it. Don't fuck the pain away.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know.
You know.
Chris, what you laughing so? Chris laughing a little too hard over here.
Juice and 100 a day.
Yeah. No, I'm not. I'm regular.
I'm
like,
regular. I'm regular.
We having a good time. Amen. You know what I'm saying? We like, it's a brand new season. It's beautiful outside. New
it
York
is
popping.
Yes.
Like, this is a season where New York makes you fall in love all over again.
Yes.
Yes.
And that's what it's all about.
Yes.
Like, new opportunities. You know what I'm saying? The boys is out. The girls is out. You know what I'm saying? The work is out.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's popping.
Yeah.
And so I'm excited.
Yeah. I'm going on my second year in New York.
Oh, wow.
Only second year?
Yeah. I've only been here 2 years.
You are lying.
Yeah,
I feel like I've seen you at the...
Well, because I was teaching down south, and I took all my PTO days here. So I was like, I should just move my ass to New York City.
Oh, you were just coming up here.
Yeah, I was just here all the time.
What were you teaching?
I taught in Houston at this charter school, Yes Prep.
Okay.
Yeah. Then I moved here, and I taught in Brooklyn.
Ooh.
And now I'm teaching at the New School in the fall and at NYU.
Wow.
So that's exciting.
When you said New School, I was like... Is he a student?
Yeah, I'm an MFA student there, too. I'm an MFA playwright. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's so cool.
So, yeah.
That's what's up. Yeah. Get it.
Man, that's cool.
Go off.
Get it, got it good. Now.
That's what's up. I love to hear it. So, welcome, Jeremy.
Thank you.
We thank y'all both. Yeah.
Yeah.
Two new voices onto the off-book stage.
Yes.
Off-book stage. Come on.
Yeah.
Happy to be here.
Okay.
What was that?
Horrible. Horrible.
Where did that come
from?
That
was not Coming to America.
Oh, okay.
I am happy to be here. Like, what?
I remember one time.
You know, we can't do that no more.
We can't do that?
We can't just be doing,
that was
is that offensive? Jeremy?
Well, I was.
I don't know.
Well, I was imitating from a film.
Yeah.
Like, that's how it sounded in the film. So
okay.
The film, the person in the film is bad.
I just
did exactly what the guy in the film did. So
I just be feeling like, you know, we don't know what
right.
what roads we can cross right now.
I went in for, back when Witness Uganda was, no, what was the new name?
Invisible Threat,
mm-hmm. When it was Witness Uganda. And they were...
Well, now it's Witness Uganda again.
Okay, so the first time it was Witness Uganda, I went in for, and you had to have an accent. And when I tell you I tore that thing up so bad, and that man, I don't
what
know if he
do,
was
Angie?
More annoyed with the accent or just...
What did you do?
It was just so low than black. And I was just like, what? Like, to myself, I was like, what are you doing? Just stop, and just talk normal.
Wow.
But I couldn't because I was in it and loud. That man... Oh, he looked at me like I had three heads.
Oh, Angie.
It was so bad. And I
what
said,
did you do? Please
I just
do
left.
It again.
Just
left.
Please do it again. Please show me how you did it again.
I don't remember what any of the lines from the sides were, but I have come here today to warn you. It was so bad. I almost started laughing. I said, oh, you know how you start sweating, like your armpits get hot, your up under your chin get hot. I said, oh, help me, God. Get me out of here. Get me out of here.
Oh, God.
It was real bad. So I should probably refrain. And all my Nigerian friends, West Indian friends, every time I tried, they're like, You should not do that. It sounds really bad.
But you still do it.
And then she turns around and does it. Like,
she starts doing
you have not learned your lesson.
Not at all. Oh, God. Glutton for punishment.
Ooh.
Sorry.
Oh, God.
I just started sweating just now. How bad it was. Like, it skipped going.
Oh, God.
Oh, you're in it now.
Oh, that's
in it to win it.
That is hilarious. Thank you, God.
Shut up.
I needed to. Oh, okay. So tell me what your week was like. Have y'all seen any theater these past couple of weeks? What have you guys been up to? Seen any good theater? Anything that's been transformative? Transformative. Yeah, well, that's the word. Transformative for you? Anything that is.
I have been out a lot the last 2 weeks, actually, seeing stuff.
Yeah. Oh.
But I just don't want to comment.
Okay. Oh, that's you don't want to comment about it?
I was getting ready to say something. I said, no, you just should be quiet.
Somebody going
to
hit it.
What was it?
The streets is
what was
Come
it?
Back to me. Come back to me.
You got to tell me on the loader, what was it?
And I think I started
talking about
on the phone, and we started talking about something else, and I didn't get around to telling you.
Okay. What's going on, Jimmy? What you been up to?
I haven't seen a lot of theater. Not recently. I've been working like 2 part-time jobs because I'm a writer and, you know, it takes a while before people pay you for stuff. So it's a lot of pro bono work. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I haven't seen much. I saw Michael's show at Playwrights.
Oh, yeah. That's all I've been seeing. I've seen it like 4 times. Me and Angie went together.
Yep. Yeah. I'm seeing Tony at Roundabout on Tuesday.
Tony Stone?
Yeah, Tony
Stone.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm seeing that on Tuesday. But, like, up until, like, I haven't seen much of anything else since,
what did you
like,
think of Michael's show?
I loved it. I felt, like, seen and possible, like, as a, like, a black queer playwright who writes, like, unapologetically about, like, black queer stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like, okay, so maybe I am on time. Maybe I am in the right industry. Because sometimes it can feel like, what the fuck am I doing with my life? Why did I leave my job? Where they gave me a salary and some security and all these things, you know. But, like, seeing Michael's show was really affirming for me. And it was good and fun and funny and, like, and whole. And so, like, that was really good. And then Jordan's show, like, Ain't No Mo'. It's been a while back, but, like, it was one show that I really love, like, that I saw recently that was, like, that. I saw that and, like, White Noise and, like, the same.
Oh, God. Everybody was doing that.
Yeah, I'm glad I saw Ain't No Mo' at the White Noise. It was like a perfect balance.
And everybody keeps saying
the perfect balance. But yeah, I haven't seen much theater outside of that recently.
Okay.
Because I can't afford it. I can work in theater.
Yeah.
But I can't afford
it. Well, I've been trying to have like different experiences. Yeah. So I just bought tickets to Comic-Con. I think I'm going to do some cosplay. You know, I might be Madea.
Okay.
Madea?
You know, that I could cosplay Madea, can I not?
Yeah.
No, I'm actually thinking about being either number 2 or number 4 from Umbrella Academy.
Okay.
So probably like DA. I'll probably end up being Diego, but we'll see.
If I were going, I would be Shanaynay.
Shanaynay? Okay, come on, Shanaynay. I'm not mad at that.
Mm-hmm.
That's classic.
Because I'm a lady.
I can see you doing that.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you done that for Halloween before?
No, I'm always somebody's slut for Halloween.
Are you really?
Yeah, I like to be naked.
Okay.
I love nudity, and so like any chance to like
you get to
pass
show
it off, I'm like, okay,
we'll get naked right now.
Stop it.
Oh, I'm not objecting either.
I'm not either. Like,
give me some music. Give me some music. Slow and sexy.
Look, Diane, not here this week, but you know.
What?
Angie, woo. I cannot take it.
Don't mind me. I haven't seen a lot of theater, but I have been going to concerts.
Okay, so I've been too. We went to Ayana concert this past
Nick
week.
Nick Alexander's concert.
Aaron Marcellus.
Aaron Marcellus was Friday
My
night.
My God.
Oh God.
Yeah, I went to the Moby. They had like a festival.
Okay.
Moby.
It's like not for profit organizing.
Oh, black gay shit.
Yeah.
Okay, I think I know.
And Seven was there. Seven.
Seven Streeter.
Yeah. She
okay,
was there.
Come on.
And she was really good.
She can sing.
She can sing down. Yeah, yeah. And I respect a person who can sing live.
Yeah, they don't be fucking with Seven. Everybody was a part of Rich Girl.
Yeah.
sings down.
Yeah, yeah. She like, went off.
So I'm trying to figure out like what like happened to the rest of the girls. Like, are the other girls in, what's the Kelly Rowland group? What's the Kelly Rowland group?
June's Diary.
June's Diary. Yeah, the other girl from...
Are they still...
They still been singing.
Still, but do they still belong to Kelly?
No, I think Kelly moved on. Kelly didn't, you know, try to go back to her own music.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I still say Kelly Rowland should have been Donna Summer. She should have been Donna Summer.
I guess once you actually went, did you go see Donna Summer the musical? Okay, so if you would have saw the musical, you would understand like how that fit into that world, how, you know, Ariana and LaShawn were able to be Donna.
Well, I guess if they didn't want to go that route. Doing the different ones.
It was more like music appreciation than them like actually being Donna. Like,
but I mean,
I don't know, child. Don't just.
If I want to appreciate her, I go put her on a record.
You know what?
And listen to it.
I'm trying to be kind here, and I think I'm doing a pretty good job.
And I didn't see it, so I can't.
Because I love them all. You know. And I actually just saw Ariana this past weekend. And she's glowing.
Same here.
Yeah, she's just like...
She's a sweetie.
Yeah, she's wonderful.
Yeah. But I would have liked to see one person, their arc.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have minded that. You know, to see... Because she had enough story
we
to
have
do
so
that.
Many, we have so many icons on Broadway, you know, right now. It's getting crazy. Like, that's the thing to do, is to do a jukebox musical of a famous person.
Yeah.
Famous musical
celebrity.
But I feel
like this Tina Turner thing is about to be...
Adrian Warren is about to wear everybody out.
I can't wait.
Like, she's the one carrying and starring.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm saving my coin so I can get my mama up here. I'm like, girl, you got to see this.
Yeah.
And I ain't even seen it yet. Yeah. That's how hard I'm going for it.
Yeah. That's why everybody's trying to get their mama to see The Temptations. So you're going to be taking your mama to Broadway for years to come now.
I'm trying to fly my parents up here before the boys start leaving. I want them to see the original. No shade to anybody else, but I want them to see the original five guys. Yeah. They are so explosive and phenomenal. I want to see my dad. So my dad was in a bunch of like guy groups that used to open for the Temptations.
Mm-hmm.
The main one he was in was called the Compliments. And they literally was the Temptations part 2.0. And that's why I'm so excited for him to see it, because I've heard all these like inside stories about David Ruffin, and you know, he had like a stripper pole or something in his house, and he used to like have chicks over and they would dance, or he had like a little dance area in his house and they would choreograph stuff and all these little, you know, cool stories and like kind of crazy stories about them. And I want my dad to kind of relive that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'll get him here somehow, at some point. Hopefully it runs
before the original cast leaves.
Yeah. But I have a feeling they're going to start rolling on out.
Yeah, you know, they get those Tony nods. Tony and people be like, hey, you want a bag?
Well, I don't think so. You know what I'm saying? I think they'll hold on to that coin. What you heard?
I ain't saying, because I don't...
The opportunity's rolling in?
I don't know the why, but I know that, you know, some exits are going to be coming to.
Really?
Yeah.
Because of the Tonys?
I don't know. I didn't ask. I just... It passed about through my ears, and I said, wow, really? Dang, I got to hurry up and...
Make sure you get there.
Get
I guess you heard it here first, y'all. Make sure you get in there before one of the five then gone, or two of the five.
Somebody's heading out soon.
Three of the five. Right. You don't know.
Who knows?
This is going down. So let's talk about the Tonys.
Yeah.
Like, that was last week.
Yeah.
Did y'all watch the Tonys?
I did.
What'd you watch?
I missed the first bit, the first opener, because I was late to the party. I went to the Ain't Too Proud party.
Okay.
And I was dawdling in the mirror and got there late. So I missed the opening I guess it was a whole ton of people in the opening.
Yeah, so like they had the ensemble members from like pretty much every single show on Broadway right now.
Okay.
Other than that,
I saw it.
Well, and like James Corden is great. The opening number was okay. Like I was with it, but then like it just kept going and like it didn't stop for a long time. So like, let's watch it, shall we?
Let's go for watch.
It. Here we go.
Use your mic. I was gonna comment. How many shows left on my queue?
You have 24,601 shows remaining, James. Shall I play them?
Yep. Play my queue. There's only so many series you can see.
Okay, you see how I'm over it already.
It's like 10 minutes long.
Yeah, like, but we're not about to watch this. We're going to have to. Like, I get it. But maybe I just don't like the. He's adorable, but, like, I just don't like this song. I don't. Maybe it's the song I don't like, or I get the idea, and I love that when they use ensemble members because they're the heartbeat of Broadway.
Right, absolutely.
But. I was scrolling my phone at this point. I was an audience scrolling my phone.
I cannot with you.
I was. I was like, oh, it's starting. Okay, let me just get my last couple tweets out. Let's see. And because Radio City is so big, like, they have monitors, but it's like, mm-hmm. Unless you're, like, in the pit or, like,
yeah. Well, I heard in the front from row. Friends that performed that they literally could hear absolutely zero.
Nothing. Because people are screaming. Yeah, so
nothing.
Loud.
They heard nothing.
Okay. Give me show. Give me leg.
Give me leg.
And like they have to rehearse, like this is like a whole nother show that they have to perform and learn and like be solid in. And they do their a matinee of their own show that day. Like Tony's week is like
I don't understand.
Crazy.
How they do it.
Especially when you're in a nominated show like.
And then they have their own performances for the Tonys.
Yes.
Yeah.
That have to be rehearsed and edited.
Yeah. Yep. And blocked specifically for that Tonys, stage. Yeah. They be having whole medleys and all sorts of stuff.
Okay,
so we're going to fast forward to come to this because I can't. I'm bored, like you said.
Tonys, I'm bored.
Okay, boom. Boom, boom, boom. Okay, so they had all the different types of shows and I don't care.
This is still the opening number.
This is still the opening number. Yes, and they ain't even, like, done nothing exciting. And James Corden just keep getting bigger and bigger, don't he?
No, wait a minute. Let that man eat his cheeseburgers and live his whole big old thick life. Go ahead.
He paid, so.
Right.
But I'm just looking at this blazer he got on.
I can't tell. Is he bigger?
Yeah. You got Kelly O'Hare. Look at Ephraim. This is a whole brand new song that they have to know the words to.
I would be up there watermeloning like a mug.
And you know, don't nobody. And nobody cares what they're saying. Like, nobody cares. Nobody cares. It's cute. Like, okay, yay, they're singing. What are they saying? Nobody knows. Jeremy nobody Pope. Can hear them.
I would be tucked behind somebody's head till I knew the words. Till it came to what I knew.
But I love how, like, the Tonys, even though...
Are they using the teleprompter?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, then they good.
Is that Corbin Blue?
I think so.
Woo!
Come on, High School Musical.
I have not, like... I didn't even recognize him.
Look at Jeremy's face.
No, he's over it.
He's over it.
We don't know, girl. Oh, God.
Oh, I saw that show.
Oh, how was it?
It was different.
Thank you, Drew.
Yeah. See, I don't like how they make fun of. They make more money than us. Than television and film makes more money than us in a theater. But they do. But true. You know, whatever. Why is it still going?
Still going.
Like now he has a whole nother verse and this whole more dance moves. Like what is happening? He can't even breathe. That means the song should be over. I can't. Okay. But see, look at the ensemble. So many of them. Look at Andre DeShields. Okay, great. Woo!
Oh, Oh, Cynthia Erivo. I love Cynthia Erivo. Gorge. Arrivo.
Isn't she amazing?
Gorge.
Yay! Okay. So that was the opening number, just too damn long. But I loved, I wanted y'all to see how the ensemble just like covered the entire stage. It was so beautiful.
Yeah.
Also, let's talk about like the highlights. Ain't Too Proud performance was phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
And I heard Ephraim sprained his ankle.
What?
The Friday before the Tonys.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah. He sprained his ankle.
That's crazy.
Isn't it? And he still.
And he just was up there just
full
to,
out on his
Oh my God. Like he was dancing so hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like he was dancing so hard. So,
and he does moves that make you feel like, oh, he's about to like fall on his face.
Yeah.
And it's not that. And he's just so like limber and.
Yeah. And he delivers.
Oh
yeah.
My God.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they all deliver. They sounded really great. Derek Baskin. I love Derek.
I love him too. He's such a great guy.
He's so commanding of the stage.
But you can't do much better than being named the number one. Yeah, yeah. And James, he just his dancing is
so
clean
in.
And
yeah,
sharp.
He's so in the pocket.
Oh.
Sing, Ephraim. All right now. And I'm sure y'all was going up when we're doing his numbers.
Oh. Man, vocal cords.
Like, woo. He's ripping them apart.
Oh, my God.
Like, what
he's
just happened?
Them
apart.
I mean.
Whoa, what just happened?
But he does it every show.
I don't see how.
Woo.
He's dancing so hard right now.
So hard.
Split.
What?
Right. Like, who does
I
that?
I see that. No. Like, how are you
like
doing
who does that?
Come on and just sing.
Come on and croon, Jeremy. I have not watched this.
Really? I watched it four times.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
Four times for me.
I watched it at the show, but I didn't. I have not watched this televised version.
Yeah.
Sing, sir. Sing.
I'm such a fan of Jeremy.
Ugh, man, what a voice. I mean, he's not hard on the eyes. I mean,
right.
Let's just go ahead and say it. He's a cutie pie. I mean, and he had to learn choir boy. Like,
yeah,
he learned choir boy
yeah.
to perform.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, choir boy had a performance, too. Yeah. Oh, my God, yes. Yeah. I'm glad they got to perform, though. Like,
same.
You better nail it.
Ooh.
Yes.
Ooh.
You just say that lamb chops life. No lamb chops tonight. Yes, okay.
Sing, Juwan.
Juwan got, he's like, I came here to do this, and this is what I'm going to give y'all.
He said, I'm not playing with y'all.
This is the part I liked, this ending.
So bomb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ow, 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 ow.
Yeah, Jarvis Ephraim and St. Aubyn.
St. Aubyn went off.
Yeah.
I said, sir, you gonna scream till your head came off.
I mean, just watch, just listen.
He said, I'm on a damn Tonys. You right.
They gave him a part. He said, I'm gonna wear this part out.
Woohoo.
About to wear this part out. Just think about all the little black boys and girls that get to see this.
What? Like. What?
Go off, Jarvis. Sing, Ephraim.
Out of breath. They don't care.
It don't even matter.
Nope. My mommy had another one.
Right, like, and another one.
And another thing.
And another thing.
Oh, he said, you're going to give me about 8 seconds? I'm going to wear all eight of them seconds out. Listen,
there is no breath allowed. There is no way.
I said, Jarvis, I ain't never heard you holler right there. He said, well, I wasn't on a Tony before either. I said, I ain't mad.
You better go off. I'm not mad at it at all.
Because you better believe, if I'm ever on the Tonys and I get a little solo, y'all going to hear everything.
Going off.
I got
Well, congratulations to Ain't Too Proud. They won the Best Choreography Tony Award. Yes. They were nominated for 12. They won one.
They won sound design too, didn't they?
No, I think that was Choir Boy.
Yeah, Choir Boy won sound design.
Oh, gotcha,
yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just one?
Just one. Hadestown, I'm telling you, Hadestown wrecked.
Oh, yeah, they did wreck up.
Like, Hadestown
won. I heard
won.
Really good things about the show, though.
Yeah, me too. I've heard nothing but great.
About Hadestown? Hadestown. Oh, Hadestown is phenomenal.
Yeah. Well, what I saw it's so was deserved. Beautiful.
Yeah, 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 it was.
Yeah, Hadestown won Best Musical, Best Featured Actor for Andre DeShields, who had a phenomenal speech, by the way. Yeah, gave some wonderful advice for artists. If you didn't catch that advice, it was... Like, you need to go back and watch Andre DeShields. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, that's going to be something that people are... talking about for years to come. But one of the main things that he said, the piece of advice that he said, it says he had three things that he wanted to let people know. One, surround yourself with people whose eyes light up when they see you coming. Two, slowly is the fastest way to where you want to be. And three, the top of one mountain is the bottom of the next, so keep climbing.
Come on.
So good. So good.
Woo, Andre DeShields. Like,
listen, humble.
Some jewels.
Like, so yeah, they won Best Feature Actor. They also won Original Score. Wow. They won Best Direction of a Musical, Rachel Chafkin. Mm-hmm. Scenic Design, Orchestrations, Lighting Design, Sound Design. What else? They won. Yeah, that was it. So they won 8 of the 14, I think, that they were nominated for.
Wow.
Which is wild. Like,
that's awesome.
Yeah, so they're like the hot ticket right now. So get your Hadestown tickets. Get your Ain't Too Proud tickets. It was a really great night in theater. If you didn't catch, even if you didn't catch a show, but like there's been a video clip circulating of during one of the commercial breaks. So during the commercial breaks, Jace Corden would go out into the audience and have people do karaoke during commercial.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Billy Porter.
Yeah. Oh, I love Billy Porter. Can we talk about it?
Like, like what?
Oh, gosh.
Like, Billy is...
amazing.
Like, I can't even...
And have y'all... Are y'all caught up on Pose?
Yes. Well, it's only one episode.
I've not watched a new episode for
this
season.
Yeah, have you watched the new one?
No, I haven't. Oh. But I've seen season one, and I'm like... I've watched the scenes with Billy Porter, like, repeatedly.
Yeah.
He's like, has a great performance.
Billy Porter's phenomenal. Yeah. Like, and I'm Poses has to be like my favorite show.
Yeah, Poses. Yo, it's
so good.
It's my favorite show. Yeah. It's just beyond ridiculous.
And it gets so much right too. Like, and
but let's watch this Broadway karaoke.
I went over to Billy Porter. And I said, Billy, do you want to give us a song? And well,
like, I couldn't even grab my phone up. I just had to witness this greatness because it was just so ridiculous. And I was like, Billy, like, how you just gonna know this song?
I mean, know it and parade. He didn't stand in one spot singing. He paraded all over that room.
When he went up onto the stage, I said, oh, you know what? Okay, now he's showing out.
He said, you gonna put this mic in my face and think I'm not gonna wear it out?
Right.
Okay.
You got another thing coming.
He went way black church.
He said, what am I singing?
He did.
He ready.
Sing. Bye. Yeah. I know that's right.
Let's talk about it.
Right, baby.
Yes. Sing.
Yeah.
Place it. Place it.
That's
you better place it.
Pro.
Yes.
Okay.
But then he starts singing right again.
Okay.
Yes.
I don't need the words.
He's been ready for this.
Oh, yeah. He said, I'm ready in season, right. Out of season.
Just let him play the gypsy, let him play the witch and Into the Woods.
Yes.
He's like, okay,
he's like, all right,
like,
I'm here.
I'm gonna do it. I'm committed.
Here, present.
I'm going on stage.
Right. I'm committed to it. I love him so much.
Awesome.
Go off.
The roses. Yes. Like
he said, I'm living.
Billy Porter for everything.
Yeah.
That was the best moment of the night.
Yes, yes. How was the energy in the room?
It was phenomenal. It's like you can't write that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that's a impromptu mic. You can't create that. Like, I mean, okay, the karaoke, that's a good, you know how we do in a church is a mic toss.
Right.
That's a church mic toss. Right. And so like that's the best part. Right. The impromptu feeling where you just don't know, like you just let it go. Just let it,
yeah.
The reins. Like that's like, you know, Legends Ball shit.
Yeah. Like, man. Well, I remember back when, I have an interesting story about Billy Porter. Mm-hmm. If he listens to this, he probably won't remember, but I met him and had like a long conversation with him about 6 months before Kinky Boots came to Broadway. And he was doing a play in somebody's living room. And it was absurdist play. And afterward, like he was straightening up the people's living room and he was literally, I never met him before. I just walked to him and introduced myself. And he was just, I guess, felt moved to share gems. And he was saying, you know, I got tired of being the hollering church girl on Broadway. I knew I could act, but nobody would cast me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he said, and I've spent the last 10 years, 12 years, something like that. He said, I will do a play in a cardboard box in somebody's living room, as you just watched. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's for pay or not, because I know I have what it takes. And I'm about to go back to Broadway. And at the time, we didn't know what Kinky Boots was going to be, mm-hmm. or whatever. And the humility,
come on,
and the joy he had in his journey, even though it was his rock bottom to him, it was so inspiring to hear him just revel in, I had to kind of go to my bottom to look up.
Yeah.
And literally 6 months later, everything broke for him and he was back. And it really inspired me that you're never too old. You're never, you know, you don't have to be one thing. You can reinvent yourself.
Yeah.
And now look what's going on.
Yeah. And that's the thing I love about like Billy Porter's presence. Like for me being in like MFA at the time where like Billy is on like Pose and Terrell is like back on stage. And I'm like, I'm a writer, but I've written all my life. And I'm just like trying to figure out like, what else do I want to do? It's just like it reset like the expectations for like what is possible.
Yeah.
Because they're like, yeah, I'm going to do it all. I'm going to do whatever I feel like doing. And that, like, that's more human than, like, I'm an actor and I'm a writer. It's like, no, I am whatever I decide I am today. And, like, to have the tools in the toolbox to do whatever you choose. Like,
and he went to get the tools.
Yeah,
said, I've had these tools for this time. Now I need new
crafts.
Tools.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get them.
Absolutely.
And we see that he did the work. Mm-hmm. We can see this clear as day. And I love it because I feel I'm kind of in a similar, I've been in a similar situation where I'm usually cast as the singing girl. No one ever thinks I can act. And then
you can act, girl.
Yeah. And directors and choreographers who know me have, you know, just as a singer when I'm in something and they're like, oh my God, I didn't know. And I'm like, some people would be like, oh, well, you should have or whatever. I'm like, okay, I'm not offended. Yeah. That just means I'm on the right path.
Yeah. You know.
In this movie, I don't get to sing. Spoiler alert, I don't get to sing much, but I have such great scenes. And I'm really proud of them because I got to show something else. Yeah. I'm not just a singer. And so his story, I never forgot it, and it continues to inspire me because it tells me I am older. Yeah. I have been primarily a singer, but I can be a strong, just as strong, if not stronger, of an actor than I am a singer, to the point where people are like, oh, she sings too? When that's what I've been doing my whole life, you know? So inspiring, man. Thank you, Billy Porter.
Yeah. I just had lunch with Emilio Sosa, who's a costume designer, and he was telling me, you know, I was talking about him working on Much Ado About Nothing. And I was just telling him, you know, how he said, but you're an actor too, right? And I said, yeah, I'm an actor. He said, see, people get confused. You know what I'm saying? We don't know what you do. We don't know how to look at you. So it's just like trying to rebrand yourself in a different way than people see you. It's very hard. It's difficult because people know you as one thing, and it's sort of hard for them to imagine you being, you know, multifaceted and having these different layers to you. But, you know, we got to get with it, y'all. Like, we are moving. We're progressing. Everybody ain't just doing just one thing no more. Everybody's trying to be, you know, hyphenated and have a slash. You really shouldn't have to.
Like, what is this?
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's whack, ain't it?
Yeah, like, that's so played.
Yeah. Even if it's so 1990. Yeah, like if we think about, we just talked about the Black church, like even that requires that you be
multifaceted,
like,
theatrical,
verse, and like sing and like and walk down the aisle and give the girls a show. Like, right, it requires all of that.
Yeah.
And you got to be humble enough to be an usher.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? I was on the Usher Bird. Yeah.
Usher Bird.
Oh, did I say that?
No, I love it.
Is that what I said?
Like, I love it.
Bird.
Oh no, I'm country.
Welcome. Welcome.
That's on the tape.
Indiana is a country. Indiana, y'all country though. Like, all my friends from Indiana, they country. So that's about right.
Did I say that? I'm country. Welcome.
Damn. I'm mad it's on tape though. Can we bleep it?
Say nah.
Usher Bird. Lord.
Hallelujah.
It just came out.
Well, you are going to come, you know, as Madea, so it's on brand.
Listen, it just came out, so, you know, my tongue could be a little wet sometimes. what did you guys have any favorite parts of the Tony Awards? Like anything that you really enjoyed? Or
I love the Audra and Laura Linney.
Yeah, the little fight.
It was
the
so
miniature
cute.
Fight. It was cute.
Like how they both just went in. Mm-hmm. It was great.
I loved it.
She was like, yeah, I did.
I do have a problem. Yeah, like I do have a problem
it
with you.
It was me. Yeah. It was me.
Audra about to take off her earrings.
Yes. I said, come on.
Yeah. And
I
you mentioned choir boy performance too.
Oh, it was so great. Yeah. It was so nice to see something so authentically, exclusively Black be represented.
And Terrell's speech ahead
and then
of time.
Terrell's speech when he talks about so Black good. And queer and the,
ooh,
come
it was
on.
So good.
I was like, help the girls understand.
Y'all don't want to hear this.
Because they don't want to understand.
But he can really say it to y'all in your face. Y'all can't ignore this.
He was like, they weren't trying to hear it, but my God.
But it was said.
Yes,
and
Terrell
shaved his face off.
Negro spirituals have chronicled the spiritual, political, and physical resistance of Black people in this hemisphere.
You better preach.
They have helped hold together communities, they've steeled the fraying nerves of protesters, and they have quieted the agony of a child longing for their mother. They also, more often than not,
when I had on a burgundy tuxedo, we would have looked good standing next to each other.
By Black queer folks. In Choir Boy, set in the fictive
he's so fine.
Charles R. Drew Prep School for Boys, we chronicle the moment when a Black queer kid, Ferris, tries to use their gift of song to uphold this great legacy of spirituals. And the moment his community accepted his gift but diminished his light. Mm. The bodies that uphold the great legacy of spirituals are often Black and queer.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Preach.
We love all of them for who they are, not just what they can do.
Yes.
Thank you.
Come on.
Terrell, we
thank
love you.
You.
Let's talk
thank
about
you.
It.
Come on. Like, woo!
Yeah.
I need that as a tattoo. Ooh. Like, I need that on my body. God, that he just spoke, he preached that.
Yes.
Oh, my
it's
goodness.
It's so real.
Yeah. We got to.
Do you think it'll ever, it's particularly in the Black church, do you think that we will see a day when people stop just loving what
I don't
black
know
queer
because
folk do and just and love them.
Sometimes I like to think so, and then I start seeing, like, you know, one of these videos that go viral where they have like a black trans person in church or like a black gay person in church, and they'll say something about them, or like, you know, somebody will have something to say in the comments section, and then people will agree, and there'll be so many people that agree and have, you know, strong feelings about being, you know, a part of the LGBTQI community. Like, they have such strong feelings about it that it just really boggles my mind. I don't know if we ever will get there because it's so deeply rooted.
It really is.
In the church and beyond.
Yeah. I grew up in the church, and I have my stories. And I'm writing a play called Dingaling. It's like a new play with gospel music.
Oh, okay.
And it's about a very similar thing. It is about like the presence of like black queer boys in the church and like that responsibility to those bodies, but also like the kind of silence it demands, because I think like that's what we're talking about too, right? When we talk about if we'll ever get to a point where they acknowledge the whole person, it's that like part of what it means to have to be able to stay a part of the community and be accepted is to be silent about that aspect of who you are, which is a large part of who you are, which just
so I know so many, you know, especially coming from a smaller town, I know so many black men that are married, that have kids, that do mess around on the low, that work in the church, that, you know, like, and it's almost like it's okay as long as nobody knows.
Right.
Like, you know, it's almost like their wives are okay with it as well and are in on it as well as long as nobody knows. Is that what you're playing about?
But no, absolutely not. You're not giving life or energy to that foolishness. Because, like, but what I mean by that foolishness, too, is like it is okay. But then when people know, it's like the people who are threatened by it are like LGBTQ people, and then like our lives become not our own, it becomes unsafe because of somebody else's secrets.
Yeah,
you know, and like that's the ugly part of it. Because it is a lot of that in the church. It's a lot of secrets. But the moments the secrets come out, it's the people who are at the margins who have to pay for it. So
you better preach. Okay,
but I'm gonna shut up.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, y'all. Well, we're going to move right along. If anything else y'all want to say about the Tonys, we, you know, it was a great time. Did y'all go any, well, you went to Ancient Proud Party. I was there, too.
And it was great. Everybody, especially after, like, when everybody got there and the DJ started, it was just nice to just have all that melanin in the room.
Yeah.
And dancing and hugging on each other.
Open bar.
Yeah. Open bar.
Yeah.
And just seeing everybody look so beautiful and still celebrating, even though they didn't do, you know, as well as we would have liked. Yeah. But just that they were there, like being a Detroit girl and seeing Detroit on Broadway.
And hats off to Dominique.
I mean, what a beautiful queen.
She's the truth.
That unapologetically tells our stories.
Truth, the truth.
Yeah, yeah. I went to, I didn't go to high school with Dominique, but we were in high school at the same time. And back in the day, everybody who was in the arts, didn't matter really what high school you went to, everybody knew each other.
Yeah.
And just like back home, when I got to New York, she, you know, hey, sis, it's hometown, anything you need. And she's like that with everybody.
Yeah.
And it's just so nice to see a real, real-ass black girl be celebrated and her work be recognized.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that this will pull a whole nother demographic to all of her work, not just the singing and dancing.
Yeah.
The other work and the new works that she will do. I'm so happy for her and that entire crew and cast. They are just amazing artists, and what a story to put on stage and rep the hometown.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, that's my highlight for the Tonys. All things Detroit. All things
Detroit.
Where did you watch that, Jeremy?
Pardon?
Where did you watch the Tonys?
I didn't. I was at work flipping tables.
Oh. Are you serious?
Yeah.
So
because like that's the life I live. I want to be a playwright, so that means I have to get money elsewhere. Everywhere but the theater.
So did you go back and watch any?
I did. I watched many of the highlights. Yeah, I watched many of the highlights.
Okay.
I didn't watch that opening number.
Now you did.
Yeah.
Bryan Cranston said something in his speech that was just really off-putting to me. He got up and accepted his award for, I believe, Best Actor in a play for Network.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, something about, oh, gosh, they give another white guy an award or something like that.
Straight, basically speaking, the straight white.
Yeah, another
straight old white man.
Right, gets another award. Yeah. I was just like,
or finally, he said, finally a straight old white guy gets
yeah, he was basically making a joke about
everybody's gay,
white privilege
that wins the Tony.
Yeah,
the
Tony. And having white privilege too. Mm-hmm. And it was just really just off putting and weird.
It was
and
odd.
Regina King, you know, was up there too, and she just looked like. Like, Regina King was all of us. Like, we cringed at the joke. And it was just like, this isn't funny, girl. Like,
this isn't funny, girl.
This is not That's funny, girl. Like, like, girl, you funny. Not. But yeah, like, so that was really weird. There were, I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I missed or really wanted to talk about. No. No, I don't think
yeah,
so.
No. It was a cool Tonys, but. Other than what I wanted to see, I wasn't like blown away.
I just loved Andre DeShields. Yeah, and, I mean, him. I think we're always constantly waiting for the black parts. Like,
yeah.
It still feels segregated in a way.
Yeah.
Like, even though we're up on the stage, we're there, we're part of the awards. It still feels
like
segregated.
This isn't quite our thing.
It's not for us.
Yeah,
like, we're here, we're part of it, but like, it ain't really. We're ornaments here.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. we're not built into the foundation of what this is. Like, that's how it feels.
Yeah.
Of what is? The Tonys or America?
Well, I mean, all encompassing. Like, all of it.
The Tonys is kind of a cross section of what it all looks like. Every day, all day.
America on stage.
Yeah.
I can't. So the Tonys, you know, was over, and immediately Gary, a sequel to Titus Andronicus, is like concluding their run early because they didn't win anything.
Mm.
So like they are closing. I think today's their last day. Today, yeah, June 16th. So if you didn't catch Gary, a sequel to Titus, do you even know what that show is?
Nope. I'm not gonna sit up here.
Oh my God. As you can tell, I've been smoking again because that the way that just came up.
Oh, and it was just wet.
Right, like because it caught me off guard. Which is why I need to stop smoking again. Like,
put them down.
Chris, why are you laughing so hard?
That made me swallow. And it wasn't nothing in there.
Like I didn't even, oh my God. But that was funny.
What is it about?
It doesn't even matter because it's closing. Right. It's closing today.
Can't see it nowhere.
Right. She can read it.
Yeah.
But she ain't. So it's like not even waste our time. Anywho. Oh, another one of my favorite moments for the Tonys. They really did include Eric Luan Summers in the memorial. And Cynthia Erivo.
Cynthia sang her whole entire face off.
Okay, now we got to watch that.
Gee. That's the end of that?
Yeah.
She melted that.
How she do it?
Not like that.
Yo, I love Cynthia. I was like working in Houston when she was in The Color Purple.
Mm-hmm.
I flew up.
Wow.
PTL days.
Yeah. Wasn't it worth it?
Yes.
Jeez, man.
Yeah. Look, Cynthia sings like, and she remember when they was talking about the live remake of Lion King, and Cynthia was like, she wanted to throw her name in the ring for it, and people went off on her because Beyonce was gonna play the role. But like, she gave us, she gave it to us anyway,
she
I'm singing. And look at Jason.
Do you think that was on purpose? Like, let's do this from the Lion King.
It might have been before the movie come out.
Yeah.
And I can't ever sing it no more, ever again.
Y'all gonna know what y'all missed out on.
Right. I can see Cynthia doing that, though. Like, okay, my rendition's gonna be out there forever.
That's right. Immortalized on the internet.
Yeah.
And looking stunning.
She is an accessories queen. Like, she is a goddess.
Oh, I was about to throw in a bad Nigerian accent. Okay. Glad I stopped myself. I need Cynthia calling me.
Okay, girl.
Stop.
Calm down. Relax.
I can't.
I ain't even going to do it.
Oh, my goodness. Sing, Cynthia.
Just so grounded.
What a grounded singer.
Like, does she even have heels on? Or is she just standing flat footed and singing?
She probably got on 8 inches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
sing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I really feel like they don't be knowing, like, they be knowing all the white people that died, but they don't be knowing none of the black people that died. Because we've had a lot of deaths as far as the black theater community is concerned. I ain't never even heard of these that lady, this lady, like. I never even heard of y'all. Yes, Eric. I know Eric Lawan, no.
Go on and hum on them, Cynthia.
Yes. This run.
It's playing in our face.
Yes. Roger Robinson. Oh my goodness. Ugh. And Tazaki. Yes. My heart is so full. Craig Zaden.
He's down.
My favorite part in the whole song.
Yes. Yeah.
Sing.
What?
Yes. Yeah, look, that in there was working today.
Yes.
I'm like, what musical I got to write to get Cynthia on the
song? Oh, my man. God.
She
delivers.
Yeah.
Every time.
Like, every time.
Woo! I cannot think of anybody in Broadway's history.
Yeah.
That sings like that, that moves you like
and
that.
And consistently.
Consistently, yeah.
That's
every
what
time.
I'm saying. Like I'm I just don't, like, it just doesn't exist.
Yeah. Yeah. No. No.
I was a fan of her, like, I used to, like, repeatedly watch her on YouTube before she even came to, like, most people were like, yeah, I'm going to go see The Color Purple. Jennifer's in it. I was like, no, Cynthia. And my friends was like, who is that? I was like, just trust
Don't
me.
Ask
like,
questions.
Like,
just
go see it. Yeah. And I was, like, blown away because, like, I was, like, a YouTube fan. Mm-hmm. And so when I saw her name, like, when they announced it, I was like, what? Dreams do come true. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I used to just go. I was a swing with the Broadway company.
Yeah.
And on some days when I knew I wasn't going on, I would just go wait till the second half and just go sit upstairs if I needed like to cry or just let something out and just sit and listen to her sing I'm here.
She's yo.
And every time. That's how I know it's in it's that oil, that anointing.
Yeah.
Cause
come
she
on.
Every
Talk about
time.
It.
Mm-hmm. I mean, when she would get to the same part every time, it would just like break me. Like her voice literally would break me. And I'm a singer myself. And I wouldn't say I'm critical, but I just like what I like.
Like
and,
your
and
singer.
What moves me moves me. And
exactly.
That child.
Yeah.
Moves me.
Yeah.
She moves me. She moves. I've seen grown men fall apart.
Yeah.
When they listen to her sing. Yeah. It's special.
Yeah. It's crazy.
For sure.
Yeah.
Woo. Yeah, that's her voice.
She's
what? How you
better,
do you riff
you
from
better
that
sing,
high?
Angie.
Yeah, right.
You better
yeah.
sing, Angie.
Yeah. There's a cover of her singing.
Angie, you better sing.
Just Have to Hear Your Voice on YouTube.
Oh,
oh my God.
I
listened
to
it repeatedly, though. Like, I was like, yo.
That might
like,
take me down.
Yo.
Yeah, it's sickening.
That might take me down.
Listen.
My God.
Yo.
Angie, don't you want to just sing something
for us? Oh, Lord, I knew it was coming.
Yeah.
You're trying to trigger me today. He'd already put on Cynthia, now you're going to have her sing.
Yeah.
I'm not crying in front of strangers.
I just need you to sing just a little something.
Oh, man. What should I sing?
Whatever is on your heart.
Sing I'm Here. You was just talking
oh,
about
no.
it. Go for it.
That is a...
you have to get up out your chair for that one.
Yeah. Like
yeah.
A,
yeah. Full body.
gosh.
I know you got something good in there. Clark Sisters.
Yeah. When we were recording the music for the movie, we did a lot of like super jams, like stuff everybody would love. And I know when we were getting into it, we were like, man, we can't believe how much we sound like them and how Donald was able to take our individual sounds and pull mm-hmm. them together to recreate the sound. And it doesn't sound like an imitation. It literally sounds like five girls who know that sound.
Yeah.
Mm. And I think my favorite song was Nothing to Lose. Mm-hmm. It was the first one we recorded. So I'm like, I'll sing a little of that. I don't know why I feel nervous all of a sudden.
Nervous. This is a safe place.
Yes. And the song simply says.
Yes, go off.
I have walked in the rain, and like Paul, I have strained. I have something. I have even felt drained. Yes, I have. I have had a taste of sorrow, and from the past I will borrow. But somehow I always felt that there was hope for tomorrow. Jesus, unhook the chain, and my Lord, ease the pain. Jesus, unhook the chains, and my Lord, ease the pain. 'Cause he gave me nothing to lose, but to gain. I love that song.
Yes.
I love that song.
Oh, wow.
It's so
I love
good.
It too now. Shoot, she just sang that.
Okay, let's talk about it.
Oh my God.
Oh, but it was really cool to research and listen to a lot of the old stuff, because mm-hmm. a lot of the older stuff is in the movie. There's probably some things that people are gonna be like, oh, okay, I wasn't expecting to hear that one. But it was really cool to watch Twinkie's process
mm-hmm.
and how she wrote and what inspired her, and how them as sisters, they sang with each other so long and was under Maddie's tutelage their entire lives, that they, to this day, they'll get up and just, it's like heaven to hear their voices blend together. They sing parts like leads,
mm-hmm.
but they all fit together because they're sisters. You never can beat a sister sound. I don't care how long you've been singing with your girlfriends.
Yeah.
It ain't never going to sound like sisters,
yeah.
you know. And so to research and watch performances and to actually hear them sing and watch them, their process in front of us was really, really cool.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I'm excited for y'all to see some of the recreations of performances that are iconic, from the hair to the dresses to the shouting.
Yes.
Going to be some cool things.
I'm excited about it, too.
That's exciting, huh?
Jeremy, you got a passage from your play that you want to share?
That's tricky.
Is it?
A passage?
It's tricky.
Yeah, like
tricky,
a little monologue? Tricky.
Yeah, give me like all of a minute.
Okay.
Okay.
No problem in the least bit. And I'm going to...
And you're an actor, Drew, so yeah, we're going to do this. Improv.
Oh, so you want me to do it?
I
can read it. Okay, come
on,
Cole
Reed. Spirit. Come
on. Listen, this is what we would normally do. I said what I said, but since we're just getting back into it, we're going to take it, you know, bit by bit, mm-hmm. to go with the flow. But like, I want to make sure that the people know who you are and get a taste of what you do. And I think this would be perfect to read, you know, part of your play.
Great.
Now, you want to give me a little backstory in the character, or should I just go
with
it?
Yeah, I will. I will.
Okay.
I think I will.
Yeah, so this should be good. I'm excited. Oh, I also need to find the email. We got some emails this week. We can do that first. While you look for that, we'll do a listener letter. So here we go. It says, "Hey, Broadway Black. My name is Shalimar." Shalimar.
Right, Shalimar.
Shalimar, okay. It's cool to say it. Laugh out loud. I'm a recent BFA acting grad moving to Chicago soon. Chi-town. This podcast has saved my mental on multiple occasions as an undergrad at a PWI. Mm. Listen, I'm so glad because, shit.
I don't know how y'all do it.
I don't either.
I went to
but
HBCU.
I'm actually
me too.
Down.
Okay,
shout
so.
Out.
Can't do it.
Where'd you go?
I went to Kentucky State.
Ah, dope. Went to Tougaloo College.
Oh, Tougaloo. Yeah.
Come on with it.
One time.
I love
HBCU's
it.
HBCU's in the house.
Okay.
I'm actually... going, probably thinking about going back to school.
Ooh.
Oh,
what are you thinking?
I'm not even telling nobody.
Howard?
I'm not telling nobody.
You should go to Howard.
I'm not telling nobody.
You should go to Howard.
Is it an HBCU? Can you tell us that?
It's not an HBCU.
You should go to Howard.
Okay, <I'm done. laughs> It's not an HBCU.
Does Howard have a master's program?
I don't know.
I know they don't have a playwriting master's.
Yeah, I don't know. But I'm not looking forward to, you know, playing the game.
Right. Will you be in town?
Who knows?
Oh. It depends. I've considered going back. It's been a long time.
I'm considered. Okay, but Shalimar says, and for that I have endless thanks because we saved his mental on several occasions. I don't know if Shalimar is a girl or a guy, so I will just say they. As I'm beginning to embark on my post-grad journey, I'm finding it difficult to navigate these murky waters, and I catch myself getting down too often. Whether it's the thought of money not being enough, generational poverty is real, or the fear of not being what they want, I just feel generally unclear about what my future is going to hold. All that to ask, where did your journey in theater begin? Did you find yourself having the same struggles? And what was the moment you realized you were going to be all right? Child, my journey in theater is still just beginning. Like,
me too.
You can never worry about being what they want. Be what you want. Mm-hmm. You are the answer. Like Audra McDonald always has this piece of advice. When you walk into the room, be the answer to the casting problem. Mm-hmm. You are the answer. And if you believe that you're the answer, it doesn't matter who else sees you as the answer. You are all you need. But you have to stand firm on that because there's so many things and so many people that will tell us no, that will chip away at that confidence. It'd be one little thing. You step in a puddle on the way to an audition. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You bump into somebody the wrong way on the train and then your whole energy just be off and you walk into the room and you won't be right.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you have to sort of center yourself and be right for yourself and do whatever it is that you need to do in order to stay grounded and have that belief because it's easy to get bitter. And I've talked about this too. It's easy to get bitter. It's easy to get sidetracked. Yeah. It's easy to, be distracted by other people's blessings. Mm-hmm. It's easy to, pout and feel like, why not me? And it's easy to do that. Mm-hmm. The hard part is staying consistent.
Right. Yeah.
The hard part is staying in the game and steady fighting. And I'm learning that too, because sometimes I've quit and I've walked away and I've taken a break but I'm always here still getting back in the game. So you have to just stay in the game. And even if you take a break, even if you take a moment, take a breather, come back and keep fighting. Mm-hmm. Believe that you have a place in this game on your own. You have to set it though. Like nobody's going to make the room for you. Yeah. You have to make the room for yourself.
Yeah.
What do you say?
I think also like when I started, I wrote my first play in undergrad. And like our little small black box at my little small HBCU. And my provost came up to me and she was like, never stop writing. And like I think it was that experience along with my first theatrical experience was probably at Brown University. Mm-hmm. They do Black Lavender, which is like a week of like black queer theater.
Mm-hmm.
That was like the first time I felt like this was a thing I could do. Then I read the work of Terrell and Robert together.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh shit. Like just like that audacity. And I've been like writing plays since 2013. And I think this play, Egg Play, and the other two or three that I'm working on right now it's like the first time I've written plays that I feel like are plays that I want to write that are like directly from my vessel, but also like about the things that matter or the people that matter or the perspectives that matter. And I think like I couldn't get there without coming to terms with who I am and what I have to offer to the world and being okay with that. Because it is like an industry where you can't be a part of theater and not be sure of yourself,
right?
Because like it's like that thing like a dog smells fear. Like people like have to be like I'm at the point where like here's
you got to be an Ariana DeBose.
Yeah.
You got to walk into that room strong, exactly. Firm. Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Here's what I wrote. You don't like it? Fine. You're right. But like I'm not gonna write what I think you want. I'm gonna write what I have to offer.
Yeah.
Right. And you have to be okay with the fact that what you have to offer is not for everybody.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Like, you never compromise yourself, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So talk to us, Angie, about what your journey's been.
Yeah, very similar to what y'all are saying. I think the biggest lesson that I've learned, and I've actually learned it recently in the last couple of years, that if you spend your time trying to be what you think they want, that's all you're going to ever do is spend the energy doing that. Which means you're taking away from the energy and time to finding who you are and what you're sharing when you go in the room. And some of the best advice I've had about auditions, because auditions are particularly unnerving for me. I'm one of those people that better in the show than in the audition. Like, I'm going to wear it out in the show. Mm-hmm. But in the audition, you may not get that just from nerves or whatever. But what's helped me is the advice I've been getting consistently is that when you go on an audition, you're not going to be what they want. You're just sharing who you, the totality of who you are. And I'm telling you, the times that I have really connected to that and done that have been the most amazing auditions. And a lot of times it's not about booking the show. It's about booking the room. Because you may give your best and all this wonderfulness, and it's just not right for the project. But when they get to know you and see you shine through, they're going to remember that. They're going to call you because they want to feel and get that again. And that's my biggest advice. Don't go into Chicago or New York or LA or anywhere and try to figure out what is it they want. How can I be that? Because it's not you. You have to be you. That's what they want.
And being you too, like, there are situations or there are processes where people are not necessarily sure what they're looking for. They, you know what you wrote, but like, somebody coming to me like, oh man, I didn't think about that person, that character like that, or I didn't think about this play like that, and it becomes a new thing because all of, like, everything is like in that stage of like, it's like it can be worked and bent, and like it's like clay,
Because and that's why it's important to be authentic, because then if they're the playwright or the director or the music director will start turning because you're showing them you, then it helps them. Helps the process overall because now you got, I'm not sure what I want this to be, but this person is sure of themselves and I like what they're giving me. So let's bring them back in. Let's let's talk about this. And that's why it's so important to spend your time finding that. Quit wasting time with a song that you think you're going to wear out because you heard such and such do it, or you're going to go in here with this wig on because you think that's the look. Be you. Wear your hair. Wear your face. Wear your clothes. You know, be who you are and let it fall how it's going to fall on who's in there. It ain't, you ain't for everybody. So if it don't fall on them right, it didn't.
That's the best lesson, Like, it's just understanding that you're not for everybody. And that has, that's nothing about what you have to offer the world. That's about people. And like, if you, like, if you're sure of yourself, like, all that other shit gone, it's going to happen anyway. Like, life's going to happen. But you, like, don't ever, like, give yourself up for nobody, because if you let them, they will.
I understand that.
Whenever I'm singing, I don't care, like, how crazy I look. I don't care how sweaty and gross. I don't care if my boobs done shifted, because I probably done sang myself crazy, because that's where my joy is. So I'm not into, let me give y'all this show. This is what I'm doing. Come on up here with me or not. But I'm not doing that because there's enough of that. I don't want to be a part of that. So
I love it.
Talk about it.
Well, thank you so much, Shalamar, for writing in. We appreciate you. Hope we answered your question. Hope we inspired you and to keep going. And like you're telling us, you said, please keep doing what you're doing. You've made me a better person, a more competent artist. And I know I'm not alone when I say that. Best, Shalamar. We thank you so much for tuning in and listening. Like, y'all really be lifting me up, y'all, for real, to keep going. Like, these two breaks, I needed these two breaks to sort of start developing and getting ahead of the ball for the new season and really developing and thinking about the content that we want to create. How do we want to inspire people? What topics? What information is going to propel you all to work harder, to do, to keep striving to be seen and to be heard, for your voices to be heard and your talent to be seen. So we just want to keep inspiring. If you have any ideas of anything that you want to see, I know y'all keep talking about technical people. That's why I was meeting with Emilio Sosa this week to try to get some more designers and technical people on the show and really trying to plan ahead of time, you know, because y'all know I'd be waiting to the last minute of the day of, but I really have been planning ahead of time now and really trying to figure out what people's schedules are going into this this season, the summertime and the fall, so that we can get some more information and more inspiration out to you through these through Off Book. But we thank y'all so much for listening. We're gonna do this. You ready?
Go for it.
What I got? Okay, who am I
reading?
I'm
gonna tell you. So this is from the perspective. So Gemini and Virgo are in a relationship in this play, and they are the ones who break up. And so the second act is Gemini coming back into the picture because he's now kind of ready for a thing that he wasn't previously a year ago. And this monologue is Virgo's monologue explaining to Gemini why what they had was beautiful, but why it can't be a thing anymore. Like, why they have to let it go.
Okay, here we go. Gemini, I begged you to stay. You couldn't. I begged you to stay and you couldn't. That last time you left, I thought about staging some elaborate thing where I take back all of my stuff. But I'm on this journey and your healing matters just as much as my own, as painful as that can be. So I'm glad we're friends. Glad we both moving on and healing. I do not wish to take anything from you. I do not desire anything that... I've been on a journey, Gemini. A journey to unlearn some of the ways I've grown to accept half-hearted love out of fear that maybe it was the best I could ask for. I realized I had tucked myself away. I don't want to be tucked away. I want to be uncovered. I can't grow from your maybes. We accept the love we think we deserve, and I deserve more. You said it yourself. I deserve more. I deserve a love that welcomes my vulnerability as a thing to be regarded and not discarded, Gemini. It has not been easy. I did love you too. I wanted to wait, but I can't wait on you. When you left, I found God in me instead of looking for it in you. And I cannot unsee that. I cannot unsee the God in me. I can no longer make space for your kisses forged at the side of goodbye, no longer believing empty words up against pending action. You epitomize thin love. You are the epitome of thin love.
Woo-hoo-hoo. Go ahead, Cole Reed.
Listen, that was a very Cole Reed. I didn't know what was coming. Wow. I'm like, oh, that's punctuation there. It's punctuation there. Okay.
Wow.
That was beautiful.
That really was.
Why I'm not in this play?
I don't know. Let's talk about it. Get the people to put it up.
Hold on.
Call your favorite people.
Shoot. Wow. But yeah, that was great. And tell the people the name of the play once more.
Egg or anything dipped in egg gone soften.
Okay.
Yeah,
and they won't be able to get it until it's been produced. Okay,
but something tells me that it's looking good.
Something's
out here.
Coming.
Yeah.
All right.
So I say
a little birdie, huh?
Okay. Holy Ghost.
I'm not mad at it. Well, we thank y'all so much for tuning into a brand new episode of Off Book presented to you by Broadway Black. We've hit our mark and we've done it right now. I'm Drew Shade.
I'm Angela Burchett.
Jeremy O'Brien.
And we out, y'all. Thank y'all so much for tuning in. We back. Boom! It's a new season.
Oh, yeah.
Season 2.
Yeah.
I don't know when my other niggas gonna be here, but they're gonna be here soon. Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Bye.
One of my kids. Nips teeth to the tip of the tongue.
Yes, come on, vocalist. I'm so ready. I'm so ready to hear you. Just like.
God. And then why I'll be nervous?
I don't know why. What for? Okay, it's fine.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.